Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the show for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbick. My co-host has just arrived. Her name is Mango the Gooey Girl. We are besties, and we're here to bestie it up and have a little sleepover. A little quality time, just two girls, one of which has conjunctivitis. She's the girl that has conjunctivitis, not me. Mango, she's a conjunctivitis girl. What can she say? Mango had conjunctivitis when I adopted her. The like pictures that I saw of her before knowing that she was the one, she was literally crusted over. Like her eyes were not looking good. So she's had conjunctivitis a few times since I've had her. I feel we're very used to it by now. It's been like a year since she had it last. So she's been going strong, but she's back. So if she looks a little squinty to you video viewers, it's because my girlie has pink eye. Every time she has conjunctivitis, I show her that picture of Justin Bieber that's like, I have conjunctivitis. That Instagram post. Do you know what I'm talking about? That was like the worst, most least helpful way to explain that ever. Anyways, I just want Mango to know that it's very normal and that lots of sexy, beautiful people get conjunctivitis sometimes. And that's just how it is. It's a beautiful Tuesday afternoon when I'm filming this in New York. I'm going to see Bottoms tonight at Alamo Drafthouse with my friends, and I'm so excited. Bottoms is probably the movie I've been second most excited about this year, only behind Theater Camp. So for those of you that are still confused about my sexuality, that's on you, babe. She's got purple hair, a nose piercing, and the movies she was most excited about this year were Theater Camp and Bottoms. Let's be serious. Oh, God, I'm kidding and joking. I literally said that I ate pussy before, and people were like, so she's straight, right? I'm having a hee-hee and a ha-ha, okay? I know that people want me to talk more about bisexuality. I've heard it. I've seen it. And maybe I will someday. I don't know that I feel ready to talk about it on the internet yet. I'm baby still, you know, she's just a little baby. And yeah, I don't know. I'd love to talk about it someday. It's something I'm exploring within myself and something I'm definitely more comfortable with offline than I am online. I think talking about it online is just like a whole different beast to be comfortable with. So I don't know. I'll talk about it more someday, but, yeah, that's funny. Where I was like literally talking about it, eating pussy, and people were like, she's straight. She's for sure straight. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, right, guys. I don't know how much clearer I can be, but cheers to that. Can we crack open this Diet Coke? Anyways, I don't know how the beginning of this episode has already looked like this. I also would like to talk about bisexuality, to be fair. I have so much to say. This is not what this episode is about. I don't know how I'm getting into this right now. I also have so much to say about bisexuality, my experience with it, why I don't feel totally comfortable talking about it on the internet. I would love to talk about all of it someday. Today is not that day. And I don't know when that day is going to come. It might be a year. It might be 2 years. It might be a month. I don't know. I do not know these things about myself just yet. I don't know when I'm going to feel comfortable telling you guys about everything. But I hear you. I hear and I see your comments about wanting to know more. The curiosity. I get it. I would be curious too. So I hopefully that squashes any of you that still are confused about my sexuality. We're all on the same page now. Cool. We can talk about it at a later date. Amazing. Glad I got that off my chest at the beginning of this episode. You know, I feel like I should record the podcast every Tuesday because Tuesdays are when I do therapy, and I feel like I'm just primed to get into it after therapy. Had a great call with my therapist. It was amazing and wonderful. And you know what? I feel like sometimes I'll have a therapy session and it's not that I learn something new, but you know when you sort of forget something about yourself or you don't even realize that you're doing it, and then your therapist is like, oh, you're doing it again. And I'm like, holy shit, you're right. I was doing it again. Because I think I forget that I'm a people pleaser a lot, frequently. Frequently, I forget that I'm a people pleaser. And this is all connected to like the part of me that's also a planner and an organizer and a people pleaser. Like these are all interconnected, right? All these aspects of myself. And anyways, I was talking to my therapist, just being like, oh, I'm stressed about this, da da da, this is going on. And she was like, you do know that you can say no. Just throwing it out there. You are allowed to say no, and someone else can handle that. You don't have to be everything for everyone. And I'm always like, you know what? And I know that, and I've learned this, and yet I still try to be everything to everyone. Because it feels so hard to be like, no, I cannot. I am doing too much. I have to say no to this. I have to, you know, say no to this opportunity. I have to say no to helping this person. I have to say no to going out and doing this thing because I have to do something for myself instead. It feels hard to me to disappoint people. It actually feels painful. I cry about disappointing people all the time because it hurts my feelings to know that me saying no and setting a boundary could possibly be hurting someone else's feelings. I understand that that's not my responsibility to hold space for that all the time, and that at some point I just have to put my hands up and say, I can't do everything for every single person, and other people need to figure it out for themselves sometimes. I can't do everything, okay? People can problem solve for themselves and come up with their own solutions if I can't do whatever I'm being asked of me. You know, it doesn't even have to be that big a stakes a thing. Like if somebody asks me to hang out and I say no, I don't have to feel bad for that. They can go invite someone else, right? They can problem solve in that way, or it can be bigger things. I don't know. It was a nice reminder today for my therapist to be like, you know what? You are allowed to say no. And you are allowed to just let other people worry about themselves and take care of themselves and figure out their own shit. And you don't have to be everything to everyone. So it was a good therapy call. It was a reminder that I needed. And maybe it was also a reminder that you needed. So this is why I'm sharing it. And it was just overall, it was a good therapy session. I feel excited for the week, for the things that I'm focusing on and working on right now. Right now I'm focusing on like going through all of my routines and things that I'm working on, and just trying to get clear on what I care about the most, what habits and routines I want to prioritize, and just make a better schedule for myself. And something that I think I'm going to incorporate into my week is Passion Project Fridays, baby. The name doesn't quite roll off the tongue, but that was the name that I came up with for it. Passion Project Fridays. And basically, I'm going to dedicate every Friday to working on something or doing some type of activity for myself that serves no monetary purpose and is just solely for fun. So like, for example, I have this idea for a photo series that I want to do, and I've been working on it just like in my notes app in my phone every time I'm like in an Uber or something, and I'm like, ooh, I should brainstorm on what this is and what that is and whatever. And I haven't had time to like really dedicate to it because it's not a priority. Obviously, it's just this concept I have for a photo series that I think would be really fun. Obviously, I could share it out on Instagram, and I probably will once I make it, but it's like I wouldn't make money off it anyways. They're just Instagram posts. But yeah, I just never make time to do fun things like that because I just don't have all the time. I've got two screenplay concepts that I kind of want to spend some time writing. I've been talking about how I wanted to do poetry more and get back into writing. So Fridays would be a good day for me to do that, and also other things like finding like a cake recipe online that I'm interested in baking. Friday would be a great day to do that. Everyone's been sending me romance bookstore that just opened up in Brooklyn. And that would be a great little daytime activity. Go visit this bookstore, check out all the romance novels they have, go to the park and read for a little bit afterwards. Like, that would also be something appropriate that I could do on a passion project Friday. It's really just meant for the things, the creative, and like solo things that I want to do that get pushed to the side or not prioritized as much as the other things that I have to do that I'm contracted to do. The stuff that pays my bills. I want to make time to work on other creative projects as well, just because I think it makes me feel good. It makes me feel happy, and it makes doing creative stuff as a career more sustainable long-term, I think, because it can be difficult sometimes to do what you love as a job and keep loving it. And I feel that it's been like a major priority of mine throughout this like time in life, to like make sure I always stay loving what I do and that I always stay connected to my creative self. And I feel that I've worked really hard on that so far. And so I'm just excited to bring this in and see how much better it can be if I'm carving out time every week, every Friday is dedicated to this. It's baked into my schedule, baked into my routines, so that I always have space for it. And I'm not like looking to squeeze it in somewhere. She has a day, Passion Project Fridays. I think it's going to be big for me. So this Friday, when you're listening, it's my first Passion Project Friday. We're so good. I'm so excited. September 1. It's like a new school year. Passion Project Fridays. And if anyone, you know what, it doesn't even have to be a solo thing. If any of my friends that are listening to this, if you ever feel like you need a Passion Project Friday, you let me know. And you can tag along with me and do whatever you need to do while I do whatever I need to do. Or you can come and join my cake that I'm baking, or, you know, whatever. Whatever. I just want to support the other creative people in my life. If you need a Passion Project Friday, you let me know. And you can join my Passion Project Friday. So last week, we talked about, randomly in the submissions, I started talking about those people on Instagram and TikTok that make those videos where they're asking people to rate themselves. They take a picture of them and then ask the next person, what would you rate this person? And I think half the time it's supposed to be like a ha ha gotcha when people rank themselves higher than other people would rank them. I don't know. It's a dumb video concept. I talked about it last week. I hate it. Ranking yourself in general, ranking people in general, I hate. I think it's so stupid. I've discovered another person, another genre of person on the internet that pisses me the fuck off. There's this one little girl that appears on my Instagram Reels page all the time. She's got to be like 11 or 12 years old, maybe 13. And she does like little get ready with me videos for middle school. She just does her, you know, mascara and lip gloss and talks about middle school drama. And it's adorable. I see her videos. I say, oh, so cute. And I scroll and I go about my day and my life, because that content's not for me, right? But I think it's sweet that it exists. And when it pops up, I say, good for you, okay? Because I was a little girl that made content on the internet once. And I think it's sweet seeing little girls get to be creative and have fun and do their silly little videos, okay? Because I, too, was an 11, 12, 13-year-old making cute little silly videos on the internet once. What pisses me off is that this week I looked in the comment section of one of those sweet little innocent videos, and it was a bunch of adults being like, why are you on here? Delete your account. Get off the app. Why is this baby putting on lip gloss? And it's like, you guys are so fucking annoying. Like, genuinely, you're so annoying. Because what your take is on children having social media accounts is one thing. That's a conversation that adults can have with other adults. But you leaving nasty hate comments on this 11-12-year-old's posts that she's gonna read is just fucking weird and nasty. You're an adult. You're a fucking adult. If you, as an adult, would not want your child to have a social media account or be doing makeup at age 11, 12, fine. That's your own opinion. You do not have to allow your children to do what this child is doing. And we can have a conversation about you know, should children be allowed on social media? Should kids under the age of 13, this girl might even be 13. I might be making her sound younger than she is. But should kids be allowed to make social media content? This is an ongoing conversation. People have it all the time in terms of like family channels and stuff. And I agree with a lot of it, that there does need to be protections and boundaries in place for kids on social media. In complete agreement. What I don't agree with is adults that are like, let me go fucking hate on this 11, 12 year old. Go talk to her parents. Go have this conversation with other adults. What do you mean you're in the comment section of an 11, 12 year old posting cute little makeup videos being like, delete your account. You look like a fucking hater. You are now hurting this 11, 12 year old girl's feelings, making her feel like shit about herself because you disagree with her parents. Get a grip, you guys. Like, sincerely, get a fucking grip. This 11, 12 year old is just having fun with fucking lip gloss and mascara. Let her have fun with it. Let her have fun and be a sweetie. You know what? And it is just so funny to me how quickly people lose the plot. And it's like, you can be so anti-social media or anti-young people being on social media because of how it impacts their self-esteem. And then in your pursuit of being anti that, you're leaving hate comments on a 12-year-old girl's post. Get a grip. Get a fucking grip. The content isn't for you. Keep scrolling. I don't know. I just remember when I was a kid, when I was 11, 12, 13 years old posting videos on the internet, I'm so grateful that only other 11, 12, 13 year olds interacted with my content. It would have been so fucking irritating to me if I was just a little kid trying to have fun and there was adults being like, delete your account. Why the fuck are you here? And it's like, I hear it. I do. As an adult that also thinks that there should be restrictions put in place for children on the internet. But why are you telling this to a child? This is my beef. It's like, I get it. And I agree with you for a lot of it. I'm not even saying I disagree. I'm disagreeing with how you're going about talking about it. Why the fuck are you posting on an 11, 12 year old girl's page? Let her have fun. Do not involve her in this. We can have a conversation about children having social media accounts and all this shit, whatever, without being a fucking weirdo hater in the comments of a 12-year-old girl's post. Like, ugh, pisses me off. Just let her have fun and let other 11, 12-year-olds comment on the posts and have a good time being 11, 12-year-olds together. Like, I think children should have a separate internet. I do. Because adults are weird. You guys are the weird ones. You guys are the fucking weirdos. You make it weird all the fucking time. Let kids be kids and have fun with other kids. Oh, God. I can't deal with people thinking they are the good guys while actively being the bad guys. It's like, it sends me because these people are, they get on their high horse being like, yeah, I'm going to comment on this 12-year-old girl's post telling her she needs to get off the internet and I'm going to feel good about it because kids shouldn't be on the internet. And it's like, you've lost the plot. You've sincerely lost the plot. You can hold that opinion without bullying a 12-year-old. And you're a weirdo for that. Sincerely. Seek help. Oh, and you know what? While I'm at it, another group of people on the internet that I can't fucking stand are course creators. People that hop up on the internet and they're like, I made a course to teach you how to get followers and make money on the internet. And the whole course is essentially make a course. In the course, they tell you, would you like to know how to make money? Make a course. And it's like, do you people even know what you're talking about? Do you people even have the expertise to be able to share anything with anybody about growth and starting a business on the internet? Or are you just scammers? Are you just straight up scammers who are like, I made a course teaching you how to get money. And then the course is just like, step one, create a course. And it's just a big circle. It's a big circle jerk of course creators being like, I'm so smart and I make so much money. Would you like to know the secret? And the secret is just make a fucking course. The only reason they have money is because they've convinced you to buy the course. They don't actually know anything or have any type of skill set for building a business online other than the fact that they got you to buy this course. They said, actually, I've got nothing valuable to tell you. I just think you should sell a course. You guys suck to me. Because I think those people sort of prey on people that are like desperate to make money. Any like get rich quick type creator online in general that's like, here's how to make money really fast. It's like they're preying on the people that are in really tough financial situations that are just looking for a break. And they're like, buy this course if you're desperate enough to want to know the answers. And then people do. And then It's like an MLM. I swear to God. It's like the same vibe. I just feel like 99.9% of courses on the internet about making money on the internet are scams. Because they make money on the internet by convincing you to buy the course. I can't stand it. I'm like, what is your talent? What is your skill? What are you bringing to the table besides convincing people that you're an expert and then stealing money from them? Oy, oy, oy. Anyways, moral of the story this week is don't bully 12-year-olds because you have criticisms for the rules their parents set in place with them. And number two is don't believe people who try to sell you courses and tell you how to make money on the internet. The truth is out there, people. And it's on YouTube for free. So you go get that. You go get that truth. I support you. You know, it really hurts my brain to think about how much money I was wasting on subscriptions that I didn't even realize that I had. What did I watch on Peacock? What have I ever watched on Peacock? Would I have ever realized I was paying for Peacock if not for Rocket Money? Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. I'm a little bit of a finance nerd. People don't know this about me, but I watch a lot of finance YouTubers. I find money very fascinating. It's honestly partially why I refuse to take on a manager or anyone to help me with my work, because I kind of like managing the business and finance side of it myself. So since I'm doing all of it myself, I really need a service that allows me to be fully in the know of where my finances are going, what I'm spending the most money on, where I can cut back, and just give me a full bird's eye view of my financial situation. So Rocket Money has ended up being my go-to place for keeping an eye on my spending, creating budgets for myself, keeping track of subscriptions, and getting rid of them when they're not things that I use often. With Rocket Money, you can easily cancel the subscriptions you don't want with just the press of a button. No more long hold times or annoying emails with customer service. Rocket Money does all of the work for you. But really, my favorite part of Rocket Money is being able to monitor all of my expenses in one place, set custom budgets, and also they send you notifications when you're past your spending limit, or also they'll send me notifications to be like, you spent blah, blah, blah percent less this week than you did last week. So it gives me like a little encouragement, like, okay, I'm doing good. We're on the right path. Stop wasting your money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/emotional. That's rocketmoney.com/emotional to take control of your finances today. So without further ado, let's get into some audience submissions. If you don't know, there is a box for audience submissions. I go through it every week. Pick the ones that I resonate the most with. You can submit requests for advice, stories about any drama that's going on in your life. You want perspective? Am I the asshole? Any topic of conversation that you'd like to bring to the sleepover, you can submit it in that box. And if I have something to say, I will select it and we will talk about it. So let's get into it. Hi, Maddie. I love your content so much and so appreciate your vulnerability for all of us sensitive girlies. Like you, I've been trying to be more intentional about dating recently, and so I have been having more deep conversations about what I'm looking for in a relationship when I go on dates. This inevitably leads to questions about my last relationship or things in a similar vein about past relationships. I am 28 years old and have never been in a long-term/serious relationship, and I find it difficult to answer this question without seeming like I am flaky/flighty or immature when it comes to dating. From what you've said about your own dating history, I feel like we've had such a similar experience, so I'm curious how you answer that question yourself. Again, love you and your content. I think sometimes we judge ourselves in preparation for how we think other people are going to judge us, when in reality, people are not as judgmental as we think they are, and or they have experienced and felt similar ways that we do. And I think the dating process naturally feels kind of isolating, and it's hard not to feel like you are the only person on planet Earth that feels the way that you do. I get it because I have felt that way. But I think in reality, most of us have experienced difficulty in finding the right person for us. And I think it's more rare to be someone that hops from relationship to relationship once you're of a certain age. I think when you're younger, it's more common. You see it happening a lot. But then once you get older, people don't really do that as much. So and this is something I have to remind myself of as well, because I've definitely felt the way that you do before, where I've been like, God, is it embarrassing to say that I've never been in a serious long-term relationship? Like, are people going to think that that's a red flag, or they're going to think that something is wrong with me and that's why I haven't met someone? But I think that's more our own insecurities speaking rather than something that's rooted in truth. So when I go on these dates, I'll always just answer honestly, and I'll say, you know, I have never been in a long-term serious relationship. And that's not because I don't want that or haven't wanted that in the past. I just honestly have not found the right person for me, or I've met people that I really liked and wanted to explore that with, but we had different ideas of, you know, what a relationship looked like at the time. A lot of people want something more casual, and it's been a challenge to find someone that I really connected with that also had the same relationship intentions that I did and was ready for a long-term relationship. And I think most of the time, I mean, every response that I've ever gotten to this conversation is people being like, yeah, absolutely, I've felt the same way. And maybe people have, you know, they've found a long-term relationship in between there. You know, somebody's been in like a 2-year-long relationship and they've been single for 4 years and dating, and we end up on a date. Even if they had that 2-year-long relationship, they're still going to be able to understand what it's like dating in this day and age, especially like, I don't know, in a place like New York, where it feels like access to casual relationships is like so readily available. I mean, this is everywhere really, but it's like access to casual dynamics is like so easy, and people are one swipe away from, you know, meeting someone they can do that with. So finding someone that wants the same thing that you want and that you're attracted to and that you're compatible with is like not an easy task, right? So I think most people that are doing it and that are looking for the same things that you are looking for will understand that, because I don't think it is magically easier for other people. You know, just because they've found one person doesn't mean they haven't experienced periods in life where they've been like, yeah, you know, I haven't really met anybody. I don't think it's the craziest thing to be in your, you know, mid to late 20s and still not have met someone that is the right fit for you. Because also, just because you haven't been in a serious long-term relationship doesn't mean that you lack experience in dating, right? I've dated a lot of people. I have plenty of experience in dating. I've just never been in a long-term serious relationship. So I don't know. You can't force things, right? If you haven't met someone, you haven't met someone. And I think most people do understand that and relate to it on some level. I think that we are usually quicker to judge ourselves than other people are to judge us. And I feel like if somebody was gonna judge you for not having been in a long-term serious relationship by age 28, that to me would read more as like a projection of their own insecurities. I don't think that we view relationships in the same way that this person views relationships, because from where I sit, anybody that's going to judge someone for that would be the same type of person that would get into a relationship just to say they've gotten into a relationship. If they reached age 28, if they were in their late 20s and were like not in a relationship, they would be the type of person to just jump into one just to say they did it, which is clearly not the person that you or I are. So if that's the type of person that they are, and they are feeling like so insecure about themselves and their solitude that they have to just say yes to anybody, jump into a relationship just to avoid being someone that says that they've never been in a relationship, I just think we see it differently. So I don't think that I need to take feedback from those type of people, because I don't value their opinion. So we see it differently. I wouldn't want to take advice from someone who thought that it was a bad thing to be single if you haven't met the right person, right? If you haven't met them, you haven't met them. So there's not much else to be said. It is what it is. You don't have to take feedback from those people. And overall, I really don't think that most people are judging you in the way that you fear that they might. I think that more people are understanding and have experienced similar things than you would expect. Unfortunately, a lot of us have felt this way and are in the same boat and have had a hard time finding the right people for us. So I don't think it's as uncommon as you think it is. And I think a lot of people in the dating pool that you will go on dates with will be able to relate on some level. Hi, Maddie. I really loved your recent episode about flirty friendships, and I was wondering if you've ever experienced remaining friends with someone you've had a fling with, or if you have any advice regarding my situation. I recently had a fling with my older brother's friend. Let's call him Ken. We met going to a festival along with my brother and really connected emotionally and physically. It was a magical weekend, but now that we're back in real life, Ken feels conflicted about seeing me again romantically. He's a bit older than me, which doesn't bother me, but it is an issue for him. He's also concerned because I'm his close friend's little sister. He doesn't want to jeopardize his relationship with my brother, and after a lot of back and forth, some hanging out, and some serious mixed signals from him, we decided to just remain friends and hung out platonically for the first time the other night. It was weird and confusing for me. I'm so used to flirting with Ken, complimenting him, and I was really in my head trying to avoid that so he wouldn't think that I'm disrespecting his boundaries. I think it felt awkward for him, too. I left that night feeling dejected and worried. I do still have a crush on Ken, but aside from that, I really like him as a human and want him in my life, but I'm afraid that we've screwed up our chances at becoming friends because we started off romantically. Have you ever experienced anything like this? Not being able to date someone you want, so just choosing to remain friends instead. Is it worth trying to keep this going, or should I just cut my losses and move on? I mean, I think this depends like person to person and situation to situation. I'm friends with people I used to date. I'm friends with people that we've expressed interest in each other. I'm friends with people I used to hook up with. I don't know. To me, I'm a very simple girl, right? If we can communicate and get through the middle area together, then we can be friends. If I am able to have a very open, communicative, caring relationship with someone, I can be friends with them in a heartbeat. And it's not going to be an issue for me. As long as we have that, right? As long as we have the communication and the care, I can be friends and I can, you know, readjust to a friendship rather than something romantic or sexual or whatever. But I've dated and hooked up with a lot of people that there was no world where we could have been friends afterwards. And I think for me, it has a lot to do with like the maturity and communication of the other person, the ability to have open conversations, say everything, hold space for each other, and then sort of, you know, just set expectations for what things are going to be like moving forward. If we're going to be friends, what does a friendship look like for us? And like, what is both of our actual interests in being friends with each other? If the romantic and the sexual is stripped away from this relationship, like, do we have a friendship? Or was this really all romantic and sexual? Because maybe it is, right? I think you have different types of connections with different people. And the people that I have had romantic or sexual connections with that I also had a friendship with, and they are good communicators who clearly care deeply for me, we have been able to have fine friendships and it's not a big deal, right? But it's a type of person and it's a type of relationship, a type of connection. Not everything's going to be like this. 95% of the people that I have dated and hooked up with in my life, over the span of my life, we are not friends, right? It's absolutely not going to be every person you date and hook up with that you're going to even want to be friends with afterwards, let alone can. It just depends. It depends on so many factors. But if you feel that it is too difficult for you to maintain a friendship at this point in time, you can set that boundary and say, like, I'm open-minded to exploring friendship in the future, but right now it feels too fresh for me and I just don't really know how to act, so I need some distance. That's fine, right? If you don't want to totally close the door, or if you would rather just be like, you know what, I actually don't think that I see friendship in the cards for us. I think we have a romantic connection and a sexual connection, but like, what do we actually have in common as friends? I think it's an easier transition when you start as friends and then something happens and you go back to being friends. Or it's just easier when like friendship is sort of the primary thing that has existed in this dynamic. I think when it goes from like romantic and sexual and then you're developing a friendship afterwards, it can feel a little weird. And maybe you discover that there isn't really a friend connection outside of the romantic, and you were hopeful that there would be a friend connection once everything was shut down, but like maybe there isn't, and that's fine too. But I think you can absolutely be friends with people that you used to date, used to go out with, used to hook up with. It's possible. It takes a special kind of person, takes a special kind of dynamic, and it takes someone that you genuinely have a connection with outside of the romantic and the sexual. And maybe you find out you don't have that. I don't know. I most of the situations that I've been in, it was like we were friends first, before anything happened, and we've been friends afterwards. And that seems like an easier transition than something that starts off as like romantic and sexual, and then afterwards you're like, well, we can be friends, and it's like, well, we've never been friends before, so I don't know what that looks like. And maybe you'll be able to discover what friendship looks like, and maybe you'll discover that friendship isn't in the cards for you guys. Either way, that's totally fine. I think you just have to give yourself grace in the in-between period when you're figuring it out, because it is a little weird at first. And if you discover that it's just too much for you and starting a friendship right now is not in the cards, and it just feels like a lot to hold emotionally because you do have a crush on them and it's not going away, and you just feel like it's a lot to hold space for, that's also fine. So Godspeed and good luck to you. Hi, Maddie. My best friend just got her first boyfriend, and I'm kind of struggling with the fact that I'm not number one in her life anymore. She doesn't confide in me like she used to unless it's an issue surrounding her partner, and I feel like I'm not being the supportive, enthusiastic best friend she needs me to be in return. I'm young and have absolutely no dating experience, so I feel like my advice is lacking, and I'm scared that her boyfriend won't like me and it'll tear apart our friendship. How can I be a more supportive bestie when we both seem to be on such different paths? Number one, I think the first thing I want to say here is that I don't think that the best friend and the boyfriend ever compete. And maybe that's a hot take to some people, but someone that I'm pursuing as a partner is not competing with my best friend for like importance in my life. It takes a village, people. Okay. You need different people for different things. Your partner cannot be your everything, cannot fulfill every role. The same way your best friend cannot be everything, cannot fulfill every role. We have a ton of people in our lives that fulfill different roles, that give us different things. And that's how it should be. It takes a goddamn village. All right. My best friend is so important to me. Nothing in this world could replace her or change the way I feel about her. She is so important. She is my fucking bestie. We went through girlhood together. We are together till the end. Okay, ride or die. A partner is never going to be able to replace the position that she holds in my life, is never going to be able to replicate the things I get from our friendship. It's just a totally different thing. They're not competing with each other. They're fulfilling two totally different slots in my life, right? My partner gives me things that my best friend can't give me, and my best friend gives me things that a partner can't give me. And it is just two totally different roles. I hate the idea that a boyfriend and a best friend are competing for something, because in my brain, it's just, that's not how it is. You know, like my best friend is my number fucking one. The same way that when I have a partner, they will be my number fucking one. And y'all are teammates. Just want to make it totally clear. Y'all are fucking teammates. You are not competing for a number one spot here. You're both in the number one spot. And you better just, nobody's competing for anything. So you better get along, because that's number one and number one right there. Okay. You're sharing a bunk. So get cozy. And yeah, I don't believe it, that the best friend and the partner should have to compete in any way. I think that they're fulfilling totally different roles. They're in different. It's just different. And it doesn't need to be a competition. I think it's unhelpful to view it that way. If you feel like your best friend has entered a relationship and has started prioritizing your friendship less and less, that's something you can have a conversation about, right? I've had that conversation with friends before, and it's been a wonderful way to open up and to get closer with those friends, right? Like, it to tell your friend, I love you so much and I value our friendship so much and I just miss you. And I feel like I haven't seen you as much, and I get that you're in this new relationship and that's so exciting and I'm so happy for you, but I also just miss my friend. And to be vulnerable and open up that conversation, in my experience, it's only led to closer and deeper friendships. And I think 9 out of 10 times, your friend will be like really grateful that you opened up the conversation and allowed them the opportunity to strike a better balance, because assumably your best friend doesn't want you to feel neglected as their best friend, because you do fulfill different roles and you're not competing and they don't feel that way. So why would they want you to feel less? I don't know. This is, not everyone operates this way. I know. Don't I fucking know it? But this is how I see friendship, and that's just how I think it should be. So I personally think it's always good to open up a conversation about those things and lead with love and care in your heart and just be honest. And I think the other part of this about you being young and having no dating experience and feeling like your advice is lacking, number one is that I feel like a lot of times when you're confiding in a friend in something, they're probably not even necessarily looking for a solution or advice, right? People a lot of times just want to talk to get something off their chest and like sit in it and have someone to sit in it with them. When I am opening up to my friends about something I'm going through, I'm not telling them because I assume they'll have a solution for me. I'm telling them because I want someone to sit in it with me and listen and just be able to have someone that is sitting and trying to understand me and showing me softness and gentleness and care in a time where I'm confused or feeling conflicted or whatever's going on. I'm not looking for solutions. I'm just looking for someone to sit with me and be a friend and, you know, just be there, be present. It's not always about what you say. It's more about how you listen. And I don't think we always need to know exactly what to say or what advice to give, because that's not why our friend is telling us, right? They're telling us because they want to just sit in it together, to just talk through it and let them come up with their own solutions. Or if you have an opinion, share it. If you have a thought, share it. I don't think that you having a lack of experience necessarily means that you're not allowed to have an opinion. But if you don't have any advice to give, if you don't have anything to say, I don't think that's a bad thing, because I don't think that's always the reason why we share in friendships. And you also said that you're scared her boyfriend won't like you. So that also tells me you haven't met the boyfriend, which I think could also be making this like tougher and feel worse. Because I mean, like I said earlier, the boyfriend and the best friend are on the same team. So you got to meet the boyfriend. And I think it would feel a lot better once you do meet him and get to know him and suss out the vibes, right? Because that's probably not the case at all. And I think it's probably that you're taking things more personal than it should be or than it really is. And if you just had an open conversation about it, met the boyfriend, spent more time, you'd see that your spot is not up for competition, that you haven't been kicked out. And maybe more of your friend's time is going to this new relationship right now, but that doesn't mean it's always going to be like that. And you can definitely have a conversation about it and just open up the floor in that way. Hello, Maddie. I'm a frequent listener. I love the podcast. I recently watched one of your podcasts where you said that you think ghosting after a first date is fine, unless I totally imagined that. I'm going to correct the record before I continue reading this submission. I did not say that I think ghosting after a first date is fine. I said that I do not think it is ghosting after a first date. Slightly different. Just want to be clear. I do not think that the definition of ghosting includes someone that you have known for 2 hours. Okay. Carrying on. Well, I went on a first date where I wasn't feeling a connection with someone and I thought I was going to ghost afterward, but they proceeded to say things like, I hope you don't ghost me, I hope you still like me after this date, and immediately texted me after our date that they told their family and friends that the date was great and they felt butterflies and whatnot. Oy vey. They also told me that they deleted all their apps the first day we matched and started talking. Well, even though those things gave me weird vibes and I didn't feel a connection on the date, I figured that the connection could still possibly grow. We haven't been on the second date, but I just find that they have been getting a little obsessive, which weirds me out. So I have been more distant lately, and they have said things like, I had a dream you were mean to me and I cried. I want to have the conversation telling them I'm not interested in them romantically, but I think they would make me feel guilty. I still cannot tell if they're being manipulative and if I should ghost them, or if they're being vulnerable and I should be straightforward with them. Oy. Yeah, it's a little love bomb-y, isn't it? Going on one date with someone, spending 2 hours with someone, is not enough time to know that you want to be with someone, is not enough time to know that you want to invest in someone. To go on a date, to go on one date, to spend a few hours with someone and have them immediately text you like, oh, I deleted all my dating apps and I told my family and friends that the date was great and I felt butterflies and I hope you don't ghost me and I hope you still like me after this date. They are extremely insecure. And this doesn't sound like a person that should be dating to me. This sounds like a person that should be talking to their therapist about why they feel the need to like pour themselves into and invest in someone that they do not know. You're a stranger to them. And it's really hard because obviously you feel uncomfortable with this, as anybody would, because it is uncomfortable when a stranger is treating you in a way that is like unrealistic. It doesn't match with the amount of time you've spent together. You are a stranger. And on top of that, you don't feel a connection. And this is just like really fast, really intense. It went from 0 to 100 and you weren't even sure that you wanted to get in the car and start driving. So I totally get why you're feeling a little stressed out and overwhelmed, and why you feel like you don't know what to do. And I also understand why you feel sort of stressed out to even have the conversation that you're not interested, 'cause they would make you feel guilty. I get it. Here's what I would do. You don't have to do what I do, but this is what I would do. You can take this as you wish. I think not texting someone after a first date, if you're not feeling it, is fine. I don't consider that ghosting. But if this person then texts you and asks you out on a date and starts having a conversation with you over text again, I would never leave someone on like red. If we're after a first date and neither of us text each other and we never speak again, cool. That doesn't count as ghosting. If I go on a first date with someone and they text me saying, hey, I want to go on another date, does this day work? I'm never going to be like, never respond to that person ever again. My response is always the same though. It's, hey, I had a lovely time on our date, but I am not feeling a romantic connection here. So I don't think we should go out again, but I really hope you find what you're looking for. Boom. Move on with my life. I always think it's better to like say something if they're asking you out. If it's like a mutual, we don't text each other after the first date, that's cool. I don't think there needs to be a big like, I'm not interested conversation. But if they're asking you out and you don't want to go, I think you should tell them no. Just be clear and be straightforward. This person is a stranger to you. You are not responsible for their emotions or how they're processing this. So all you can do is tell them that you're just not really feeling a connection, but you hope that they find what they're looking for and move on. And if they have some type of reaction to that, you don't need to be responsible for it, right? So if they're gonna be angry at you or try to make you feel guilty, this is a stranger and you can block their phone number, right? Be honest and straightforward, show up as our best self and just try to be as kind as possible. And if someone else has like a weird guilt trippy reaction to it, this person is a stranger and you can block them because you don't owe them anything. You were kind, you were straightforward, you were honest. If they want to make you feel bad for that, the stranger that they've known for 2 hours total, that's on them. Right? Like it shouldn't be this big a deal after knowing someone for such a short amount of time. And if it is, that's not your burden to carry. All you can do is be kind, be nice, show up as yourself, be honest. And how someone reacts to that is none of your fucking business. So we can hope that they respond positively and they're just like, no worries. Thanks for letting me know. But if they respond negatively and they want to dump on you or make you feel guilty or make you feel bad for not being interested, we are allowed to disengage and just block their number and be like, I don't know this person. So I've done what I need to do to feel good about myself. I've been straightforward and honest. I've told this stranger no. And if this stranger cannot take no, then I will just block their number. We can't do everything for everyone. Full circle moment we're having here, isn't it? You can't save everyone. You can't make everyone feel good. If you don't feel it, you don't feel it. You can't force yourself to feel it. And it's also not your responsibility to help this stranger process how they feel about being rejected. So I will leave it at that. And I really hope the conversation goes well and that it is easier than you are anticipating that it will be. And with that, we've reached the end of our episode. I'm going to go eat myself a little snack and then go watch Bottoms. Fuck yeah. It's a good day to have a good day, people. Thanks for hanging out with me. I love you so much, and I will see you next week.
Okay, it's your turn. Truth or dare?
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.